Invite you to take your copy of God's Word and find Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. If this is your first time to come to Lakeview, over the last many months we have been studying together on Sunday morning Paul's letter to the church in Rome. The first 11 chapters of Romans has to do with the gospel explained. The last five chapters of Romans deal with the application of that gospel, both personally and corporately. And so now we come to the last chapter, and today verses 1 through 16 as we think about spiritual friendships. Would you give attention to the reading of the Word of God? Paul writes, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, the servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampilatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Paris, another woman who worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyntrichus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. Now, when you and I write a letter, we usually begin with a greeting. In the first century world, it was common to conclude a letter with a greeting. In this case, this is a very lengthy greeting. It is the longest greeting in all of the writings of the Apostle Paul. It is a list. And perhaps your mind wandered a bit as I was reading that passage of Scripture. If so, don't feel guilty. I mean, after all, it's just a list of names. But may I suggest that it's more than just a list of names. What we have here in these first 16 verses of Romans chapter 16 is a roll call of the faithful friends of the Apostle Paul. Friends that he had met along the way over the last 25 or so years as he preached the gospel in the eastern part of the Mediterranean world of the Roman Empire. And now Paul is planning to go to Spain. But first he wants to stop off in Rome, a city that he has not previously visited. But apparently there are many friends that Paul had made across these years of his missionary ministry that had moved to the imperial capital city of Rome and were a part of the church there. And each one of these names, which mean very little to us, meant a great deal to the Apostle Paul. They reminded him of these special friendships. And they reminded him of memories from days gone by. All of us have had experiences like that. Before I was your pastor back in the 1970s, I was pastor of a rural church in Covington County, Carolina Baptist Church. And on one occasion, some of the ladies, some of the older ladies in that church who were known to make quilts, made a quilt, presented it to Kim and me. It's a keepsake for us. We treasure that quilt because each one of those little squares had the name of the lady who put that particular square in the quilt. Now, I can't have the time to tell you about all the squares, but there's the name of Ari Adams. Ari Adams made the best fried peach pies this side of heaven. And often she would invite the Jackson family to her household for Sunday dinner. And when we would arrive, she lived way back at the end of the dirt, into the paved road, where the dirt road began. And as was true in those days, in earlier days, she would sweep her yard clean every Saturday. There was no grass there, just dirt, not a leaf on it on Sunday. And we would enjoy many a meal at her table. Miss Ari Adams always sat in the fourth pew from the front on the end. She always brought her cushion, and you wouldn't dare sit in her seat because if you arrived and you didn't know that's where Miss Adams sat and she arrived and you were in her place, she would invite you to slide over. Like some people at Lakeview, I know. She always wore a black hat. Now, when I was first there, pastor, back in the early 70s, my hair was a good bit longer than it is today. You couldn't see my ears in those days. It was covered by my hair. And Miss Adams was one of those in the church who was not real happy about that. I might say not the only one. And one day I went to visit her when she was hospitalized in the local hospital, and she brought it up again. You know the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I said, well, Miss Adams, that same passage says that a woman's long hair is her glory and she's not to cut her hair. And look at you, you've cut your hair. Well, this time she must have been in her mid-80s. So she began to unwind her hair. And she kept unwinding and unwinding and unwinding. It must have been almost, it was below her waist, I'm sure that. And she said, I have never once cut my hair. So she kindly put me in my place. I loved Mrs. Ari Adams. And look forward to seeing her in glory. Here was Miss Eva Rogers. Miss Rogers believed in burning off all the undergrowth every spring in her property. And one year, when she was burning off the briars and the undergrowth around her house and her property, well, fire got out and almost burned the community down. That's Miss Eva Rogers. Then there was Ethel Cooper. Ethel Cooper was a widow. When she was a young wife and mother with, I believe it was three children, her husband went off to the Second World War, never came home, missing in action. She was a widow the rest of her life. She had a big heart for the nation. She was Mrs. Missions at Lakeview Baptist Church. She was Miss Lottie Moon and Miss Annie Armstrong and every other mission calls you can think rolled up into one. She liked me a lot because I shared her passion for getting the gospel to the nations. She wasn't above putting me in my place. One occasion I had a mission team out of our church in the ghettos in New Orleans, Louisiana. I was sharing with some young men there, trying to lead them to faith in Christ, and it's time to leave for lunch. And I'd said, y'all go on without me. We were staying on the campus of the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. I said, just go on without me and I'll get these guys to bring me home. And she told me later, she said, I thought that's the last time I'd ever see you alive with those guys. They were pretty radical. Maybe I was too naive to know that. Unfortunately, I didn't lead them to Christ, though I tried. However, I got in about 2 hours after lunch, and she saw me, and she said, now, you go in there to the cafeteria and get you some lunch. And I said, no, Miss Cooper, I'm going to go lay down and take me a little nap. She said, you may be my pastor, but you listen to me. You go down to that cafeteria and get you some lunch. So I did exactly what Ethel Cooper told me to do. So these are just names that mean very little, if anything, to you, but mean a lot to me from many, many years ago. When Paul takes up his inspired pen to close his letter to the church in Rome, he sends greetings. And he sends them by Phoebe. Look in verses 1 and 2. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. Not biological sister, but sister in the Lord, who he says is a servant of the church in Centria. That's the seaport near Corinth. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. New Testament scholars say that Paul's inspired letter to the church in Rome was carried from Corinth to Rome by this woman, Phoebe. You think about that. It's dangerous to travel in those days. And here's this sister in Christ who's been tasked by the Apostle Paul to take his most important letter, the letter to the Romans, to Rome. Huh. Just imagine, this is the most important, profound, life-transforming theological document ever authored. And she carried it. And apparently she carried it successfully. Now, we shouldn't have thought otherwise, because the Spirit of God who inspired Paul to pen these words is the same Spirit of God who protected Phoebe and this letter to the Romans as she traveled from Greece to Rome, Italy. Now, just a list of names. But I want to suggest there's more here than just a list of names. It's not like reading the phone book. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, including the genealogies of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and including this list of names of greetings to friends of Paul who had relocated to Rome. So this morning, think with me about this subject, spiritual friendships. Now, we find in Proverbs 17 that a friend loves at all times. And in the upper room where Jesus met with his disciples on the night of his betrayal and before he was crucified the next day, Jesus said to them, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And in the family of God, we have the privilege of experiencing friendship. Not just any friendship, but Christian friendship, spiritual friendship. Now, I think all of us would agree that the gift of friendship is a treasure more valuable than gold or silver or precious stones, and indeed it is. But the gift of a spiritual friendship is doubly so. And so as we look at these 16 verses here in Romans chapter 16, I want you to think with me about four truths that we can learn here about spiritual friendships. Do you have a spiritual friend or friends? Well, I think you'll agree with me that when we finish working our way through these 16 verses, you'll see the value of having spiritual friendships, both of being a friend and of being befriended by someone else. So, the first truth I want you to see with me is this: spiritual friendships find their identity in Christ. There are carnal, secular friendships, worldly friendships. They can be valuable to a great degree, but nothing like a spiritual friendship, because a spiritual friend is one where you mutually find your identity with one another because of your identity in Christ. I want you to see that in several of these names that are mentioned for us here. Look in verse 3. Paul says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers," watch this, "in Christ Jesus." The friendship that Paul had with Priscilla and Aquila was a friendship that was rooted in the fact that Priscilla knew Jesus, and her husband Aquila knew Jesus, and Paul knew Jesus, and that was where they found their identity. They did work together, and I'm sure they got some identity there, but the basic foundation for a spiritual friendship is found in the fact that I love Jesus, you love Jesus, we together love the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the same thing in verse 7 with Andronicus and Junius. Look in verse 7, "Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me." And among them, they are outstanding among the apostles. Now, they weren't apostles, but they were regarded by the apostles as outstanding followers of Christ. And, watch this, the last part of verse 7, they were, watch this, in Christ before I was. They came to salvation before Paul did, but Paul came to salvation, and they had in common that they were in Christ. They had a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the same thing, the sense of identity in verse 9. "Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ." We see it in verse 11. In the household of Narcissus. "Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord." Now, the phraseology is different, "in the Lord in Christ," but the truth, the teaching, is the same. And then in verse 13, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord." Either way, in Christ or in the Lord. But all of these people who receive greetings from the inspired pen of the Apostle Paul were fellow disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were individuals who had repented of their sins and put their faith in Jesus for salvation. As a result of that, they had been adopted into the family of God. They were either the son of God or the daughter of God. That is their identity. They were in the family of God. Spiritual friendships find their primary identity in Christ. Now, it may be in the scheme of things in your life that you might have a friendship based upon a hobby of some sort. You might have a friendship based upon some other kind of mutual interest, whatever it may be. But these friendships are based ultimately in the Lord, in Jesus Christ. And I think all of us know, if we have blood relatives who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom we pray for their salvation and bear witness to them, but all of us know that we have a closer sense of kinship and friendship with our non-blood relative, but who are spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ, than we do with our own blood relatives. That's not a surprise. Shouldn't catch us by surprise. So the first truth I want you to see here is this: spiritual friendships find their identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a second truth I want you to see here. Spiritual friendships are characterized by deep affection. If it's a spiritual friendship, if it's rooted in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's going to be characterized by a deep sense of affection. There is that emotional component of the Christian life. And Paul had deep, deep affection for these people that he names here. In fact, he says so in several of these instances. Look in verse 5, where we read about Epaphras. Verse 5, "Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia." See that phrase? My, that's personal pronoun. Dear, that's a term of affection. Friend. Paul held this man Epaphras dear to his heart. Well, why? Well, among other reasons, because he says here in verse 5, he was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. When you read this word Asia here, don't think of the Far East. Think of modern-day Turkey. That was called Asia in the first century world. And we don't know when Epaphras came to faith in Christ, but apparently he came to faith in Christ as a result of the gospel witness of the Apostle Paul. And he was dear to Paul. When I read that this week in preparation for this message, I reflected back when I was a sophomore in college to the first person that I had the privilege to introduce to Jesus. He was about three grades behind me. We played athletics growing up, Little League baseball in the summer, football in high school. He was a very gifted athlete. His name was Dwight. And the Lord burdened my heart to share the gospel with him. He didn't go to church anywhere. He's a good kid. And I came home one weekend, and I went to his house to seek him out, to share the gospel with him on a Saturday morning. He was not there. Our church was in a revival meeting. And on Saturday night service, he was there on the back row. I was near the front. But I saw him back there, and I determined in my heart I was going to catch him before he got out of the building, because I didn't know whether he wanted to talk to me or not, because he wasn't there when I tried earlier in the day. But God had prepared his heart, and as I was trying to quickly exit the building to the church auditorium to find him, he was coming forward to try to find me, to talk to me. And we went out behind the church house and sat down under a big pecan tree, and I shared the gospel with him, and he repented and believed and was wonderfully and gloriously saved. It's a special memory for me. Just a couple years ago, I heard that he had been diagnosed with dementia and didn't say much, didn't know much, and just like a day or so before he passed into heaven, he was alert, he was talking, and he was reminding his family members about the time that he trusted Jesus under a pecan tree with Al Jackson. That's a special memory for me. Paul had a special memory for Epaphras. He was the first convert that he had in Asia. Then in verse 8, there is Ampliatus. And there we read that Paul says of him, "whom I love in the Lord." And that is a term of affection. And then in verse 9, "my dear friend Stachys," a term of affection. And verse 12, "greet my dear friend Paris," another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. He refers to this lady, Paris, as a dear friend. And then verse 13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother who has been a mother to me. Now, we don't know that this is the case, but there's some reason to believe that the Rufus that Paul mentions here in verse 13 was the son of Simon of Cyrene, who was compelled to carry the cross of Jesus through the city streets of Jerusalem and out to the hill of Golgotha. But the mention here is, in verse 13, is of his mother, who is not named for us, but he says, greet Rufus, and greet Rufus' mother, and the mother of Rufus has been a mother to me. No, not biologically, but emotionally. There was this sense of attachment to her. Made me think of Margaret Griffin, who passed away just last month, 80 plus years of age. And I had the privilege to speak at her funeral in Selma. When I went to be pastor, to be youth pastor of the First Baptist Church in Selma, Margaret Griffin was a young widow in her early 40s. And she had two college-age daughters and a high school-age son. And she and her family welcomed me into their home. And I had many a meal at her table. And she became to me like a second mother. I don't say that in any way to diminish my affection for my own mother, because there's no close call there. My affection for my own mother is far beyond anything else. But if I could have to identify someone as a second mother to me, it would be Margaret Griffin, who I hold dear in my heart. So we can learn from this list of names from the Apostle Paul that spiritual friendships are characterized by deep affection. Now let me give you a third truth. Spiritual friendships transcend human differences. If it's a friendship that's in Christ, it's a spiritual friendship, then it's going to transcend all the things that tend to divide us by gender and social class and economic status and ethnicity. And if you carefully study this list, you'll see the differences between gender, between male and female. There are 26 names listed here. 8 of these are the names of women: Phoebe, Priscilla, Mary, Tryphena and Tryphosa, Paris, Julia, and then, of course, unnamed for us, but definitely female, the mother of Rufus. So Paul's friendships were not exclusively male. They may have been primarily male, but they were not exclusively male. They transcended the differences of gender. Then they transcended the differences of social class. Look again in verses 10 and 11. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. And in verse 11, greet those in the household of Narcissus. Now, this is what Robert Mounts, New Testament scholar, said about Aristobulus, the household of Aristobulus, and the household of Narcissus. Paul sent his greetings to the household of Aristobulus. We know of a grandson of Herod the Great by the name of Aristobulus, who lived as a private citizen in Rome. His brother, Agrippa I, was a friend and confidant of the Emperor Claudius. If Aristobulus enjoyed the same relationship, when he died, his household would have been taken over by Claudius, as was the established practice. Collectively, they would have been known as the household of Aristobulus. It sounds like he's saying that the household of Aristobulus on his death was folded into the household of the Roman Emperor Claudius. And if we assume that the Aristobulus Paul mentioned was the one just described, then Paul would have had close friends among the household of an eminent family in the capital city. This may also have been the case in the household of Narcissus, if the reference in verse 11 is to Tiberius Claudius Narcissus. The point simply being here that while most of the names on this list of spiritual friends that the Apostle Paul is sending greetings to were what we would call common people, tradesmen. They were just among the working class of people. There were some there in the church in Rome that were what we might call higher social class. And so there was this diversity of social class in the church in Rome. And then, of course, we won't try to identify all these, but there was the difference between ethnicity. Paul himself was a Jewish background believer. Some of these names listed here are Hebrew Jewish names, and some are Gentile names, Gentile believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we have here, at least among those to whom Paul is sending greetings in the church in the imperial capital of Rome, is a church which was diverse according to gender, it was diverse according to socioeconomic class, and it was diverse according to race or ethnicity. Now, how can this be? It is because they were in Christ. Spiritual friendships transcend human differences, and it may well be, hear me carefully on this, I'm not going to be dogmatic about this. I'm just suggesting it may well be that if you have an ongoing sense of racial bigotry or bias in your heart, you've never come to experience the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul said to the churches of Galatia, there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, but all are one in Christ Jesus. That is the difference that Jesus makes. So we're talking about spiritual friendships, and spiritual friendships transcend human differences. Now, let me give you a fourth and final truth about spiritual friendships found in Romans chapter 16. It is this: spiritual friendships are strengthened through adversity and mutual ministry. There's something about going through the fire with a brother or sister or a plurality of brothers or sisters in the faith that strengthens those bonds of friendship which are forged in the adversity of tribulation and hardship. And so we see this in a number of places in Romans chapter 16. Let's go back to verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people. Now, it doesn't mention any adversity here, but it does mention mutual ministry. And she had been a great help, and including to Paul, he says, including me, and to many other people. And so there was a bonding that apparently that the Apostle Paul had with his sister in Christ, Phoebe, because they had served together in gospel ministry. We don't know what that service looks like. This is the only mention of Phoebe in all the New Testament. Then we see it again in verses 3 and 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ. So they worked together, Paul and Aquila and Priscilla. We do know about them. We can read about it in Acts chapter 18, where they served together for some considerable time in the church there in Corinth that Paul had planted. You can read about it in Acts chapter 18. But he goes on to say in verse 4, they risk their lives for me. And if somebody would risk their lives for you, you're going to have to feel a deep sense of friendship toward them, right? That friendship was strengthened through the fact that Aquila and Priscilla were willing to put their neck on the line, if you please, for the Apostle Paul. We're talking about being strengthened, spiritual friendships being strengthened through adversity and mutual ministry. Look in verse 6. Greet Mary, who worked very hard. Verse 7. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. Now you think about that. You can do some bonding if you're sharing a jail cell with a brother or sister in Christ. You probably feel in a distinct minority, but it's good to have Christian friends with you in prison. Verse 9, Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. They work together, Paul and Urbanus. Verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Scholars say they were probably twins. And Paul says of Tryphena and Tryphosa, women who work hard in the Lord. And then the latter part of verse 12, greet Paris, another woman who worked very hard in the Lord. So we learn here that spiritual friendships are strengthened through adversity and mutual ministry. And if you have them together, then they're doubly strengthened. As I was reflecting on this text this week, and this truth that friendships are strengthened in this kind of adversity and mutual ministry, I was just reminded some of the dearest friends I have on all the earth are the people that I work with day in and day out. Some of whom I've worked with for decades. And we've prayed together and laughed together and wept together and strategized together. And these bonds of spiritual friendship grow deeper and stronger with the passing of the years because we have so many experiences of serving Christ together. And then I thought of the friends that I have on the Fellowship of Deacons. Do you know our Lakeview Fellowship of Deacons is composed of men who love Jesus, who walk with Jesus, who love this church, who are men of God, who fear God? And most of the time our meetings are rather, non-controversial. They're rather routine. We pray together. We memorize scripture together. We review matters together that need to be reviewed. And maybe once or twice a year there'll be some controversial matter that'll come before the Fellowship of Deacons. And I've watched these men as they wrestle with those matters and find consensus together because the Holy Spirit is not double-minded. And with the passing of the years, my love for them and my respect for them has gone higher and higher. And I feel a kinship with them. Perhaps you have a similar experience. Most of you are not on church staff. Most of you are not deacons. But in the ministry in which you serve here locally. Or perhaps the experience of traveling internationally on a short-term mission trip and the bonding that takes place over the course of 10 days in another country. You see those people in a way that you never saw them before. That's what Paul's talking about here. Spiritual friendships are strengthened through adversity and through mutual ministry. So what we have in Romans chapter 16 are the names of real people, real men and women, real brothers and sisters in Christ, men and women befriended by Paul, and men and women who befriended Paul. Each one of these names on this list had its own joys and sorrows, its own cares and hopes and tribulations. They were brothers and sisters in Christ. They are our brothers and sisters. These names, they're not very familiar to us. I mean, there's Mary and Priscilla, Rufus. Most of them are names. I mean, none of us probably has a friend named any of these names except those three. But they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And someday we will meet them in glory. And we will walk streets of gold with the friends of the Apostle Paul. Occasionally we'll sing a little song, a little chorus entitled, "The Family of God." It says, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God." What an extraordinary privilege that you and I have to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, His family, the church universal around the world, and the church right here, Lakeview Baptist Church. And yet it is a reminder to us that there are many people in this community who are lonely and isolated. They don't have a relationship with us. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe they don't have a relationship with anybody. Like the 87-year-old widow I read about in Grand Rapids, Michigan. She was so lonely, she appealed to the state to place her in a nursing home. Now, this is prior to the coronavirus pandemic. And she made her case by saying, "I don't blame people for not taking the time to see me." She said, "I'm not very interesting. Everybody I know is dead or moved away. I'd like to talk to somebody who's alive. I'd like to have some company," she said. The newspaper article reporting on her situation went on to state that except for a shopping trip once or twice a month, this 87-year-old widow seldom left her apartment. Her typical day began at 6:30 with a breakfast of toast and coffee, and then she would water her garden, which was in her kitchen, which consisted of five small potted plants. And after tidying up the place, she would spend the rest of her day looking out her window. Her day ended every day at 8:30 p.m. when she would eat a light supper and go to bed. If you have a spiritual friend, thank God. If you have two spiritual friends, thank Him twice. If you have an abundance of spiritual friends, thank Him often. For friendships, especially spiritual friendships, are more valuable, as I said earlier, than gold or silver or precious stones. But let us remember there are plenty of lonely people in our community that don't have a single friend, and it's highly likely there's somebody sitting in this room right now who feels like the 87-year-old widow in Grand Rapids. So if you don't have a friend, appoint yourself to befriend someone else. And if you do have many friends, ask God to make you sensitive to those who don't have friends and show them love and kindness. These are Paul's brothers and sisters in Christ, and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And together we are the family of God. This is an extraordinary privilege to have these kinds of friendships. Let's treasure them. Let's cultivate them. Let's maintain them. Let's give God thanks for them. And let's ask God to help us befriend the friendless for Jesus' sake, for His glory. Now, God, our Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to gather in this room, to sing the praises of Your great name, to see a new sister in Christ baptized, to pray together, to gather around the Word of God. Lord, we thank You for this Lakeview Faith family, for the multitudinous friendships in this room. God, we pray that You would help us to develop deeper and stronger friendships, spiritual friendships like those that the Apostle Paul had described for us in Romans 16. Now, Lord, I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl in this room who does not know Christ. By Your Spirit, You might show them that Jesus is the one true friend who will never forsake us nor leave us. He will carry us all the way home to heaven if we trust in Him. And so, Spirit of God, for those persons who do not know Christ, I pray that even today they might come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow Him faithfully. In Your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.